25. The Hogs Dragons game doesn't start until 7, but the buses with baseball game tonight in their destination window start running at 5. Morse takes one to the park, then walks back to Statewide Motorcycle, aware of each car that passes, and cursing himself for losing his shit in the men's room after McFarland departed. If he'd gotten out sooner, maybe he could have seen what the son of a bitch was driving, but he didn't, and now any one of these cars might be McFarland's. The PO would be easy enough to spot, given the size of him, but Morris doesn't dare look at any of the passing cars too closely. There are two reasons for this. First, he'd look guilty, wouldn't he? Yes, indeed, like a man who's got wolfish shit on his mind and has to keep checking his perimeter. Second, he might see McFarland even if McFarland isn't there, because he's edging ever closer to a nervous breakdown. It isn't surprising, either. A man could only stand so much stress.
What are you, 22? Rothstein had asked him. 23?
That was a good guess by an observant man. Morris had been 23. Now he's on the cusp of 60, and the years between have disappeared like smoke in a breeze. He has heard people say 60 is the new 40, but that's bullshit. When you've spent most of your life in prison, 60 is the new 75, or 80. Too old to be a wolf, according to McFarlane. Well, we'll see about that, won't we? He turns into the yard of Statewide Motorcycle, the shades pulled, the bikes that were out front this morning locked away, and expects to hear a car door slam behind him the moment he transgresses private property. Expects to hear McFarland saying, "Yo, homie, what you doing in there?" But the only sound is the traffic passing on the way to the stadium. And when he gets around to the back lot, the invisible band that's been constricting his chest eases a little. There's a high wall of corrugated metal cutting off this patch of yard from the rest of the world. And walls comfort Morris. He doesn't like that, knows it isn't natural, but there it is. A man is the sum of his experiences. He goes to the panel truck, small, dusty, blessedly nondescript, and feels beneath the right front tire. The keys are there. He gets in and is gratified when the engine starts on the first crank. The radio comes on in a blare of rock. Morris snaps it off. "I can do this," he says, first adjusting the seat and then gripping the wheel. "I can do this." And it turns out he can. It's like riding a bike. The only hard part is turning against the stream of traffic headed for the stadium, and even that isn't too bad. After a minute's wait, one of the baseball game tonight buses stops, and the driver waves for Morris to go. The northbound lanes are nearly empty, and he's able to avoid downtown by using the new city bypass. He almost enjoys driving again. Would enjoy it, if not for the nagging suspicion that McFarland is tailing him. Not busting him yet, though. He won't do that until he sees what his old pal, his homie, is up to. Morris stops at the Bellows Avenue Mall and goes into Home Depot. He strolls around beneath the glaring fluorescence, taking his time. He can't do his business until after dark, and in June the evening light lasts until 8:30 or 9. In the gardening section, he buys a spade and also a hatchet in case he has to chop some roots. That tree overhanging the bank looks like it might have his trunk in a pretty tight grip. In the aisle marked clearance, he grabs a pair of tough-tote duffels on sale for $20 each. He stows his purchases in the back of the truck and heads around to the driver's door.
"Hey!"
from behind him. Morris freezes, listening to the approaching footsteps and waiting for McFarland to grab his shoulder.
"Do you know if there's a supermarket in this mall?"
The voice is young and white. Morris discovers he can breathe again. "Safeway," he says without turning. He has no idea if there's a supermarket in the mall or not.
"Oh, okay, thanks."
Morris gets into the truck and starts the engine. "I can do this," he thinks. "I can, and I will."